Live from the John L. Santikos studio, this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. America is waiting to see if the U.S. Supreme Court is going to completely overturn Roe v. Wade. The decision in the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization is expected to come down before the end of the month, just in days. And there was a draft leaked opinion that showed a majority of the conservative court is on board to do just that, overturn Roe. So how would this impact Texas, especially with the state's Latina population? We do want to hear from you. Call in. The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. You can tweet at us at TPRSource. Send us an email to the source at tpr.org. We're joined by Carolina Cuellar, the Rio Grande Valley reporter for Texas Public Radio. Carolina Cuellar, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Also with us is Nancy Cardenas-Bena, the Texas Director for Policy and Advocacy for the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Justice. And Nancy Cardenas-Bena, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much.
Nancy, are you expecting that the decision to come from the Supreme Court to look pretty much what we saw in that leaked draft opinion?
You know, I think we've had a habit of sort of relying on opinions from the Supreme Court and relying on the legality of Roe. And even though we know that things can get absolutely worse, you know, considering that opinion, we don't expect much of a difference. We've been living in an environment where even though Roe v. Wade is sort of the law of the land, we've had SB 8, SB 4, and all of these other different types of legislation that have made abortion access very, very difficult, especially in areas like the Rio Grande Valley.
But so, Nancy, if we do get that decision, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week sometime, and the Supreme Court says no more Roe, it was a mistake, it never should have happened, Texas automatically kicks in with its trigger law, and it will make abortion illegal in the state, no matter what. And are you expecting that to happen?
We are expecting that to happen. We have seen the tide of all of the decisions that have come out. We've seen the way the legislation has progressed. And we are sort of preparing for that, right? Even though, like I said, we've been living in a sort of environment where all of these anti-abortion restrictions are still very much in place. And, you know, with the Supreme Court's permission, we are still expecting a lot of things to get worse. And we are therefore preparing for that sort of outcome.
Right. So Carolina Cuellar reporting in the Rio Grande Valley, and this is an area that seems to be kind of in the crosshair, ground zero for trying to process what post-Roe America will look like. Why is the Rio Grande Valley, do you think, so intense with this issue?
So I think the Valley is historically underserved. And it is also an area where people have a lot of conflicting opinions about abortion. And I think just the nature of having such issues with access to abortion services to begin with makes it so these conditions, which Nancy was talking about, that are already very post-Roe-esque are just exacerbated. So we see a lot of the effects of having limited access to abortions really exaggerated in the area.
It also seems like it is a income area that's it's area that of low income, there's a lot of access to health care. It's a young population, not a lot of sex education happening in that area. It seems like a lot of things are going on that would make this a and this is true for lots of parts of Texas, but maybe just more so for the Valley.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, there's a lot of access to health care, but a lot of people are also uninsured. There's also the fact that we have a large undocumented population, which may not feel comfortable speaking about that or may have even less access to abortion services because they can't travel from a certain distance from the border or they fear additional legal action against them.
Right. Okay. I'm going to take a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255. We're talking about what would post-Roe America look like with a focus on what's happening in the Rio Grande Valley. And we're joined by Sean. And Sean, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, regardless of what happens with the Supreme Court and, you know, the right to the abortion, I hope that this changes the conversation and at least renews the need to bring men into this conversation in terms of their responsibilities in these situations. Too much of the burden is being placed on women regardless. I mean, that's what the conversation is about when it comes to abortion and having their right to autonomy. But, you know, men are also involved in this and they are making poor choices themselves. So there needs to be a greater conversation about them using contraceptives, gaining access to things like vasectomies or these other areas in which men have an equal stake and are not placing all of the burden on women. Thank you.
All right, Sean, thank you for the call. Nancy Cardenas-Penna, if you could respond to the call.
I think we've been talking about how abortion affects everyone. And although it doesn't affect everyone the same way, I think this is a team effort where everyone needs to get involved, including states that have proactive abortion laws. And this includes men and women. And so I think we would only benefit from the involvement of so many different people. And definitely the conversation still needs to be centered around people who are directly impacted by this. But abortion, you know, the way that things are going, it's going to affect a lot of people, and that goes beyond gender.
Right, but this does impact women specifically. Men can walk away. They do walk away, but this is about control over women's rights, women's bodies, and women's equality. You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, said that women can't be totally equal in our society unless they have complete reproductive freedom. Nancy.
Right, absolutely. And I think when we talk about abortion restrictions, for example, in a state like Texas, we often think that men are the direct perpetrators of anti-abortion restrictions, but our abortion laws, the ones that are in place right now, have been led by women and anti-choice women at the legislature. So it's a much more difficult and complex conversation instead of just focusing on one side of it. I think it affects everyone, and we would definitely benefit from everyone's involvement.
All right, we're taking a break. Let's go to, so our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can tweet at us at TPRSource or send us an email to thesource@tpr.org. How are you preparing for the news that the Supreme Court is going to overturn Roe v. Wade and that there will no longer be a right to abortion in America? Is this going to impact you directly, indirectly? And will this somehow make you see things differently, vote differently? You voted one way before, now you'll vote different now. We want to hear from you. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be talking about the Second Amendment. What does it mean? A lot of people I've actually got it wrong. We're going to be talking more about that. But right now, we're talking about the post-Roe America. We're expecting the Supreme Court to any day now strike down Roe v. Wade, overturn that, and abortion will be illegal in Texas and in many parts of the country. How are we preparing for that? And what does that look like specifically in the Rio Grande Valley, which is an area that is dealing with a lot of cultural tug and war over this issue. And it is also an area that doesn't have a lot of health care. So we'd love to hear from folks with connections to that area, but also what are your thoughts about losing Roe v. Wade. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Carolina Cuellar is the Rio Grande Valley reporter for Texas Public Radio. And Carolina, there was that case, Lizelle Herrera, who was charged with homicide for an abortion. But so what happened with that story? It became national news for like 72 hours and then went away. But did it have a chilling effect on the communities there?
Yeah. So Lizelle Herrera was charged with murder for performing a self-induced abortion after being reported, after a report made to police by a local hospital. And even though her case was dismissed after a couple days of hard work from pro-abortion organizations and protests, there is a fear that this is exemplary of what will come if abortion is further criminalized, if the trigger law goes into effect and abortion becomes something that can be, you know, charged as murder. How will that affect, you know, a patient-doctor relationship if there is this fear that they will get reported? There is also privacy concerns, like if it is a murder charge, can your phone be looked through? Can they survey you to see whether or not you had an abortion? So these are all sort of things that people fear will happen if Roe v. Wade is overturned.
Nancy Cardenas-Penna, the Texas Director for Policy and Advocacy for the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Justice. What's your takeaway from the Lizelle Herrera case and what that tells us about what Texas could look like post-Roe?
You know, we were one of the organizations that organized her release alongside Frontera Fund and South Texans for Reproductive Justice, and it was such a quick turnaround to try to get that release. But I know that this, you know, reached a lot of homes and a lot of people heard about this, but we've actually had a lot of cases like this. In the past 15 years, the National Advocate for Pregnant Women's Organization identified 1,254 cases of people who've been criminalized for their pregnancy outcomes. And, you know, we're definitely going to see a rise of this. And as much information and education we can give people around self-managed abortion, and going to a hospital for it, there are still people who are being criminalized for miscarriages. And this affects predominantly low-income women of color. And so even though we heard so much about this and we got really involved and organized her release, we're definitely going to see more. But there is definitely a precedent for this, and it has happened for quite a while.
Let's go to the phone caller. The number is 833-877-8255, and we have Lee. Lee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I had I did not believe in abortion and didn't just choose to have one when I was 20 and wasn't ready to have a child, and actually had a roommate at the time in college that had an abortion and asked me not to, and I said, no, I wouldn't. But I think that this idea of a man being able to rape a woman and then charge her for having an abortion, taking her to court, is wrong. And I think that there needs to be, you know, more talk about it. But I don't believe in all cases of abortion, especially late stage abortion. But I think that a woman should have the right to be in control of her own body.
Lee, thank you so much for your call. Nancy Cardenas-Penna, when we look at the people who choose to have an abortion, what were their circumstances most like? How can we describe that?
You know, so I think we also have this, you know, preconception that people have to make very difficult decisions around abortion care. But the majority of the people that I work with and the majority of people that I talk to, you know, the decision to have an abortion was actually pretty simple. And although the conversation is not just one decision and one outlook, right, it's definitely people had a very easy time choosing and making that decision to have an abortion. And it was something that they chose that was best for themselves and for their families. And in Texas, it's very reflective of that because the majority of people who have abortions in this state are already parents. And so these decisions are often happening within themselves and their family.
Another caller. We have Joan on the line. And Joan, you're on the air. Go right ahead, please.
Thank you. I've been very concerned about the fact that Roe v. Wade may be overturned because as a woman, it's up to me to decide whether I want to have an abortion or not. But I also think that it is time, like the previous caller said, for us to hold the man accountable as well. If there's an unwanted pregnancy, I think the man needs to no longer have the same control over his body. If it's happened more than one time, I think vasectomy or something should come into play. If a woman can't control her body, I don't think a man should be able to control his. And I also think that we need to be able to look at what happens in the foster care system and when we have unwanted children who can't be raised well by the parent, whatever the reason, there's sometimes really valuable reasons why they can't raise the child and want to have an abortion. And sometimes they're just thrown into multiple pregnancy families. I've had experience with one of those that I've been working with. And it's just sad that abortion is not going to be an option. I'll take my answer offline.
Joan, thank you so much for the call. Carolina Cuellar, on the border, Rio Grande Valley, you know, it's far away from Colorado, which is a state where a lot of people choose to flee Texas to have an abortion procedure. But they're right there on Mexico. Mexico has changed its policy on abortion. Is that an option for women to go into Mexico, either to find the MISO, the abortion drug, or to have the procedure?
As of right now, I have heard a lot about people actually bringing medication abortion pills into the United States in order to aid people in the state of Texas help them have access to such drugs. It's actually become much harder to access them here in hospitals. But I know that people are going into Mexico to get this. In terms of abortion procedures, I am not sure about that.
Nancy Cardenas Pena, when the decision comes, so the Texas trigger law, so they already passed a law in the legislature a while back saying if Roe is ever overturned, then automatically Texas will outlaw abortion. So is it 30 days from the decision being released that it becomes completely illegal in Texas, Nancy?
That's correct. So they did pass a trigger law that definitely made us into one of the 13 states where abortion would be completely illegal, depending on what the decision that comes out of, you know, the Supreme Court is. And I'd love to touch a little bit more about the Mexico question.
Yes.
In regards to medication abortion, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So what we saw from the Supreme Court decision in Mexico is that basically states would be able to decide what the abortion outcome would look like. And so we're not really seeing people go into Mexico or, you know, go into bordering states in Mexico for abortion procedures because states like Tamaulipas still have a lot of restrictions when it comes to abortion care. But people need to understand that even though we're having way more conversations than ever before, Mexico and the United States have always had this healthcare transaction. And so people have definitely been able to go to Mexico and get over-the-counter misoprostol to terminate their pregnancy. And this will continue. We are definitely having way more conversations with people than ever before about, you know, how to make this accessible, especially for folks who are undocumented and cannot get into Mexico.
Let's go to another caller. We have Robert. Robert's on the queue. Robert, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, y'all. How y'all doing?
All right.
Hey, listen, I was thinking, you know, why are men never included in these decisions? You know, it's our baby, too. And I know the women always say, my body, my choice. You know, it's my son or my daughter, too. And that's part of me. You know, and I heard you, the host, say earlier again, you know, it's my body, my choice. Yet when the Biden administration was pushing the COVID shot, I never heard nobody in y'all's area say, it's my body, my choice. And a lot of men and women in the military and the nurses and doctors, all that, they all got fired. Where were you then?
All right, then, Robert, thank you for that dose of misinformation. about COVID. This was not about COVID. COVID was a virus that was being transferred to people, a deadly virus, and this is abortion. It's something completely different. And Nancy Cardenas-Pena, if you want to address the fact that men are concerned about their body, their choice, and someone else's pregnancy.
So I think the most important element to this is bodily autonomy, and that is the decision for people to be able to make, you know, whatever they need to make that is best for themselves and for their families. And so even though we have a lot of people who want to be a part of the conversation or should be a part of the conversation, that decision is ultimately to the pregnant person and what they would like to do with the outcome of that pregnancy.
I'm going to go to another caller really quickly. We're close on time. Emma, you're on the air. Emma, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I was just wondering about the issue of Mexico as well. I was able to hear a snippet of what they said, but I was wondering how the impact of decriminalization in Mexico would have on the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
All right, Emma, thank you for that. So Nancy Cardenas-Pena, if you could address that quickly. Also, I want to go over if people do cross the border and buy the miso drug, they have to be aware of how to use that, and they get the instructions aren't clear.
Right. So the Supreme Court decision that came out of Mexico left states the ability to decide what abortion access would look like in their individual states. And we've seen a trend of Mexican states that are decriminalizing that procedure. And so we are definitely seeing that positive trend. When it comes to over-the-counter medication abortion, that's something that has always been available. Of course, we are now seeing a trend of pharmacists that are requiring prescription, which is something that's unheard of. And also pharmacists who are distributing medication abortion are not actual medical professionals. But that accompaniment and the information to have a medication abortion is something that's available on the World Health Organization website. It's something that is available if you Google it online. And there are a lot of organizations that are stepping up to be able to properly inform people how to take a medication abortion. And that's information that should be accessible to everyone.
Carolina Cuellar, the Texas Public Radio reporter for the Rio Grande Valley. Is there a movement? Are people anticipating the loss of abortion rights in the Valley? And is that political? How are people dealing with this?
Yeah, I believe organizations down here, like Nancy said, are anticipating the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But simultaneously, while there does seem to be a lot of anti-abortion sentiment, there is a lot of pro-abortion action being done down here. Like over the summer last year, the city of Edinburgh tried to pass an ordinance that was in favor of anti-abortion legislation, and pro-abortion activists were able to keep that from passing. So we have yet to see how the preparation will be, but I'm sure there will be some resistance and lots of action to help women get access to abortion services.
Carolina Cuellar is the Rio Grande Valley reporter for Texas Public Radio. We also heard from Nancy Cardenas-Pena, the Texas Director for Policy and Advocacy for the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Justice. Any day now, we will hear from the Supreme Court their decision, which is likely to overturn Roe v. Wade, and we will cover that and the implications. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about another pending Supreme Court decision that could expand access to guns in America. How should we understand the Second Amendment, the actual Second Amendment, and then what we think we know about the Second Amendment? Well, that's coming up on the second half of The Source. Stay with us.